I need to go to crossover. In John 5, when Jesus is teaching about himself giving life, so John 5, 28. Oh, I haven't put my glasses away, sorry.
Do not be amazed at this. Verse 28, that one?
Yes.
Yes, do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out, and those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. That one?
Yes, and it certainly seems to me that quite often as Christians, we talk about it as if Christians are going to be the only ones raised when Jesus comes back.
Oh, I see, yes,
but it's really,
absolutely.
And I know you didn't mean it, but when you were preaching, it kind of sounded like, if you trust in Jesus, you'll get raised, and if you don't, you won't. But we'll all be raised, it's just what happens next. We're
absolutely
all going to get resurrection bodies, but depends what our choices in this life about Jesus
absolutely
determines and where we're going to spend eternity.
Where does Paul say it? He talks about speaking about the resurrection of Paul says it was, I can't find it now, I thought it was Acts 26. Paul talks about the resurrection of both the righteous and the unrighteous, doesn't he? And Jesus again, Matthew 25. Yes, absolutely, there will be a general resurrection. But there's a particular sense in which we talk about the resurrection to life, isn't there? And that's what Paul's talking about, particularly focusing on there in 1 Corinthians 15. So I did too. But absolutely, it is. Everybody will be raised for judgment.
Yeah. And I think because we don't like talking about hell.
Yeah.
And I think increasingly we shy away from that kind of gospel proclamation with good reason.
Yep.
Actually talking about the fact that we're all going to be raised can sometimes start a conversation because people don't expect you to say it.
No, absolutely.
You know, so that's what I found. It can actually be a door opener if you say it subtly to at least have a conversation. It doesn't necessarily have to be, and you're going to burn in hell sort of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with everything you said. Absolutely right. Amen. Okay, any other comments or questions? Anyone who can find that quote I was looking for in Acts, you get an extra prize. Oh, yes, at the back, Andrew.
Here comes another one of my silly questions.
Andrew.
This might not have anything to do with 1 Corinthians 15, but when the Lord's raised and he meets the disciples and he says, I can't remember where it is, but it says his body has flesh and bones. He doesn't mention blood. Is that a reference to the fact is at Calvary he expelled every drop of blood, you know, to save us? Or is that something to do with the resurrection body?
I've never heard that before. I don't think so, but I think that would be a lot to draw from that, because I mean, a body with flesh and bones but no blood is a curious thought, really, isn't it? So I think when he says flesh and bones, he just means it's a real body. And, of course, he wasn't, as it were, every last drop of blood wasn't drained from him at Calvary, was it? So, he did shed his blood for our sins, of course he did. And John tells us that the spear went in and the flow came out of blood and water and so on. But I think that's probably going a bit far.
Yeah, no, I get what you mean. I'm just thinking, you know, because he's got a resurrection body, is that, and it's just a thought, it's just been bothering me for a long time, that's all. And
yes.
So just ask.
I think it's one of those many things. I mean, it is, as I've said, it's a real body, so it's still a body, but there's something different about it at the same time. Precisely what all those differences are, I think we're going to have to wait and find out together.
Thanks.
Okay, we've got time for one or two more.
While they're thinking, Mike.
Oh, yes.
Nathan gets the brownie point. Acts 24, verse 15.
Thank
I
you.
I have the same hope in God as these men, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked.
There you go. That's the one I was looking for. Thank you. Well done, Nathan. Thank you for being honest. Absolutely. David had a question. David King had a question here.
Mike, any thoughts of what we're going to do with these resurrection bodies?
Well, that's a good question. And I think the short answer is no. other than that, other than all the pictures of heaven in Revelation are of people praising. So, and yet somehow it can't just be a never-ending 6:30 service, can it? Because somehow that doesn't quite feel heavenly. So we will be somehow in, we will be in a work that does not weary, and the work will be to bring God glory, and be centered particularly around praising him. Beyond that, I don't know, really. But we won't be sitting around, but we will be at the same time at rest. So there's a lot of things to hold together, I think, in that. Like Andrew's question, really, there's going to be so many things we're going to find out when we get there. It's going to be the most grand church day out we've ever had, you know, when we finally get there and discover together what it's like. But, yeah, I mean, what have you reflected? You've been a Christian longer than I have. What do you think?
Well, it's the idea of it being a feast and a party and a celebration.
I like those. Yes, absolutely.
It's taken us back to the Garden of Eden as a gardener. I appreciate it being... Mm. Yeah.
Well, the garden,
it's a restoration, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But it's restoration, but it's also, it's better than the garden because we're in a city. Yeah. Aren't we going from a garden to a city? And I mean, it'll be a city that you'll enjoy because there'll be lots of greenery in it, yeah. David, so don't worry. It won't be a concrete jungle.
Yeah.
But it's a garden city, isn't it? So it's, if we've...
A river flowing through, trees.
All of that. Yeah. So, I mean, I think one of the most wonderful things about the Bible is when you compare the beginning to the beginning was perfect, but the end is better. And that's extraordinary. Only grace can do that.
Well, I mean, that's why God created us. He knew what was going to go wrong.
Absolutely.
And he was ready for it.
And how to fix it.
Yeah.
And what he was going to do with us at the end.
Yeah.
I know. Awesome. Mm. Okay, Rodney. Last question.
That sort of question is one that has often concerned me about what do we do in heaven. And... Yes. It seems to me we've been given creativity as an essential characteristic.
Mm.
So we're going to be creative in heaven in some way.
Mm.
So the visions of a perpetual choir singing all the time is not attractive anyway if you don't sing very well.
Oh, but even you and I will be able to sing well on that day.
Yes. There's that. The other thing, just taking the phrase from the funeral service... Often, in my father's house are many mansions, resting places, or...
Yes.
Do you think this means there are specific jobs, tasks for each of us which are different? Do we have... You know, are we fitting into a great big economy of some sort, a spiritual economy, where we all do different things?
It's hard to imagine being in the presence of the Creator for eternity and being made in his image and not being involved... creatively,
yes.
Somehow, and equally in, I mean, and one of the other things we can always do, of course, is look back to the land. The land is always the picture, isn't it, of the promised land. So what do you find when the people get to the promised land? Well, you find that the center of it is the place where God dwells, and all that creativity around the construction of the temple and so on. But there was an enormous amount of creativity, wasn't there, that involved all sorts of people, and not just the singers. Mm. But and of course, in one sense, that's transcended by the new heavens and the new earth, because there isn't a temple, because the Lamb is the temple up there. And yet, God's redeemed people in eternity... caught up into his presence will somehow be involved, yes, absolutely, in some creative work that brings him glory, that focuses on his praise. I don't know, I find it hard to get beyond the contours like that. I mean, between us, we have hundreds of Christian years of meditation on these things, so... anyone else who's got anything on this one? Nathan and Sally have both got something to say. And then after those two, I think we'll finish.
Just trying to reflect on both what David said and Rodney's question.
Mm.
All of the words that we use in terms of describing heaven, trees and rivers and cities and all of those things, are they literal? Yes, but they're also telling a story. They're telling a story. They're trying to explain to us how life will be beyond our understanding. And so therefore, And even those words themselves cannot do justice to the experience of what it will be like. So therefore, my experience will be full of wonder. Mm. I will just be astounded and astonished entirely, entirely through my entire being. And the story that those words are telling is theological language. And that is, we're exploring the experience of God by trying to use words to explain what is unexplainable. Mm. So we're encountering grace and love in an experience, which I think is wonderful. But one of the things that stands out for me, in particular at the moment, is that it will be impossible for me to sin. There will be no inhibition at all to my experience of God in that moment. Mm. And therefore, my wonder will be almost entirely fulfilled in that moment as well. And even my own words at this point are reaching beyond themselves to something which is so far better, and yet describing in some sense the reality of it. But that wonder that actually I will not be able to sin, and there will be nothing that comes between me and my Father, is just my hope and longing. You know, it's tremendous.
Amen to that. Sally, finish us off.
Thank you, Mike. Mike, Revelation 21 talks about a new heavens and a new earth.
Mm.
Isaiah, the latter part of Isaiah 65
also talks
about the new heavens and the new earth. Does that not give us a little bit of insight into, we presumably will also inhabit the new earth, and it's very different from the current earth?
Absolutely. Well, and yes, and everything
is. Does that give us a foretaste of?
I think it does. And the Revelation picture of Revelation 21, of course, the new heaven. He sees the new heaven and the new earth, but then the new Jerusalem comes down out of heaven, presumably to take its place on earth. But in a sense, earth and heaven have now combined. So yeah. there is a new heaven and a new earth.
Yeah.
But they are united in the new Jerusalem, in the holy city. So the differentiation between God's dwelling place and ours is gone, and the dwelling of God is with man, and so on.
Isaiah 65 gives us some insight into perhaps what living in that new heavens and earth.
Absolutely, yes, and you know, the man who gets to 100 will be thought of as a youth, and that sort of thing. I know, I like that particular. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
The practical bit of me. Practical character in me rather likes that there will be things for us to do.
Oh yes, that was what Rodney was saying as well. There'll be some mansions to build, Rodney, won't there, for us, so we can get on with that. Excellent. What is yes, let me I think we do need to, it has become 8 o'clock, so I'll take my glasses off and I can't see if there are any more hands, and let's close with prayer. Hear these words of Paul first. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Heavenly Father, yet you have revealed these great promises to us by your Spirit. And Father, even as we've just shared in these last 10 minutes, what we as Christians have learned from your word as we've meditated on it through the course of our Christian journeys, and as we listen to your word, and as we long for that day when Christ shall come. So, Father, please, would you sustain us in that hope? Let it be an active hope now. Let it be one that bears us through those tough days. And let it be one that reaches out to those who are without hope and without God all around us, who are chasing things that will not satisfy and will not bring you glory. Heavenly Father, please bring to us this week one person for each of us with whom we can share something of the hope of the resurrection, that they too may come to see the glory of your risen Son for themselves. And Lord, as we go this way, our own ways this night, let it be under your blessing, in your hope, and living our lives productively, knowing that labour is never in vain. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.